been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in studio, we have Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, sir, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
All right. I'm doing well. Good to have you. Let's talk about incidents, and then we'll talk about the First Amendment auditor stuff at the end, because I know once we get talking about that, we won't want to talk about anything else. We had a shooting at the Pines Apartments Thursday. A man was found shot.
Yeah, we got a call that it was shots fired. We get there, and an individual has been shot in the abdomen, non-life-threatening injuries, fortunately. And we do have a suspect, but we do not, have not yet made an arrest. We're not yet ready to make that public because some of the information we're getting is a bit sketchy.
That never happens. Always you get good participation, clarity of information. Everybody's forthcoming, and the stories always add up.
If you say so.
I don't know how y'all do it.
I believe our detectives would beg to differ.
I was going to say, I don't know how y'all do it to sort through all of the craziness that people tell you all the time. And that's even when they're sincere and honest, people give different accounts. And when they're not sincere and they're dishonest and they're criminals and they're liars.
Yeah. In the best of scenarios, we talk to a victim and then we talk to three or four witnesses that are willing to come forward.
Yeah.
And they even give a little different perspective on what took place. And then we have a video and we have to piece these things together.
You know, this is off the topic, but it sort of makes me think of this. Obviously with body camera, you know, you have a lot of opportunity to review deputy behaviors. I assume that for a lot of deputies, their brain says they did it one way and then they watch the video like, oh, I mean, that's human. That's
normal.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. It's not just deputies.
Right, that's
everyone.
People.
And everyone's on video now. So
yeah.
We go to a, let's just say shoplifting. We get to a clerk or an employee and they say, this is what happened. And then they know there's video and they say, go look at the video. I'll tell you, this is what happened.
Yep.
And we look at the video like, dude, that's not what happened. They're like, really? And they actually walk to the video and say, I cannot believe that's what took place.
Humans do that. I mean, the brain is not the greatest all the time. So, and especially under stress and trauma and
exactly.
You know, motives and all that kind of stuff. We had a shooting at Oakwood Terrace with two victims on Sunday.
Yeah, this is a rare one. It happened on Sunday morning. Again, we get a call that an individual had been shot, and come to find out there were two individuals shot. One was shot in the abdomen and one was shot in the extremities. Both of them appear to be non-life-threatening again, but again, we are getting conflicting statements, nonsensical mm-hmm. accounts of what took place, but we are investigating it, and we're still asking people to come forward if they have information.
Every time I see a news story about a violent crime that takes place in the old TA at Oakwood Terrace now, I always hear the same thing. Not enough is being done, better security, who's taking care of us, nobody's doing a good job. But, I mean, there's cameras, right?
There are many cameras in
lots
in
of cameras.
Tamas. There are. They typically will hire an off-duty deputy that mm-hmm. works there. Oftentimes, they'll stop people as they're coming in and determine whether they're supposed to be there.
And you can't just go like it's a gated, right?
Right. Isn't it? Well, yeah. It's a restricted type area. Yeah. I don't know all the rules now, but you can only have so many visitors and some ages and that sort of thing. But this happened on Sunday morning, and we do believe we understand who was involved, not just the people that got shot.
Yeah.
But we also understand there might be some other people involved. But again, we're going to need some cooperation to actually make an arrest in this case. We're certainly willing to do that. And the thing that gets me all the time is you're laying there and sometimes a injured and pile of blood, and you still won't tell us who did it. It's incomprehensible.
It definitely is. You guys also had a drowning this last week in a pool, residential pool.
Yeah, 60 plus year old female was found drowning in a pool. No foul play suspected. We believe there might be alcohol involved.
How do you get accustomed to seeing dead bodies? Because I can't. I've never seen other one like my grandmother. You know, that kind of like very, very rarely in my life have I ever. And you know, we went to the medical examiner's office a long time ago, so I've seen dead bodies in the examination phase. But I just don't know how you adapt to that reality, because it's got, at least in the beginning, it's got to be completely unsettling, shocking.
Yeah, I don't know that you ever adapt fully to it. It's been my experience. I have more difficulty with an individual that is hurt,
yeah,
or dying. suffering. Those are the, because you can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
With a dead body, at least after the initial efforts to revive them or to save them, you know that that individual is no longer suffering, and then it you know you shift into this crime scene, protecting the crime scene and work on the investigation. But working when at the Pensacola Police Department, we work traffic accidents, so we responded to a lot of traffic accidents, and that's where my hat goes off to EMS personnel. Firefighters that respond to these scenes are certainly ER room doctors and nurses because, man, they deal with some horrific injuries. I know that because we see them first, and then we take them to them to, for care. So oftentimes we're not the ones fixing the broken leg or the shattered.
And by the way, you reminded me, is it this week or was it last week? It was Telecommunicators Week?
This week.
This week is
Telecommunicators Week, yes.
Which is, you know, dispatchers is what most people would think of. But, you know, first responder, the person you call 911, celebrating those people because they are essential to everything in emergency response that happens. And it's a tough job.
I call them the first of the first responders. They're the ones that have that calm voice on the other end of the other end of the line or under the airwaves. I know, again, from experience that, man, it's good to know that someone's listening. If you click that radio and you tell them, whether you're talking like a regular person or whether you're in distress, they know where you're at. They've already probably sent you back up, and they know to what we call clear the channel or make the channel emergency traffic only so that you can get information as you need it.
Yeah, they do. And the crisis, the trauma, the stress, the yelling, the screaming, the things that they deal with, the, you know, clarifying, getting good information so that, you know, your officers can show up on, I mean, they're absolutely essential, and I'm glad that we'd celebrate them at least once a year, and we should more often than that. Obviously, this incident with one of your deputies who was, and you tell me if I get anything wrong, she was working extra duty doing security at the Islamic Center. There was one of these so-called First Amendment auditors, a TikTok YouTuber type person who tries to get people worked up and get them provoked to respond in a way that gets him views or whatever. And she took the bait. I mean, not as bad as a lot, but maybe not quite as calm as you would have preferred. You put her on administrative leave, said she did not live up to the standards that you expect for, you know, your core values. And then you promised that she would be back on the job soon. So your chance to talk about this, I know you've already put out that video, but tell me what you saw in the video. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Just, you know, your reaction as a sheriff as you're watching this.
Yeah, well, just to be clear, she wasn't put on administrative leave. She was put on desk duty or administrative assignment. So
is that different?
It is different. Administrative leave means you stay home until we finish the investigation.
Okay, she was just not on patrol.
She was still coming to work. She was working from the precinct.
Okay.
What she was doing.
Honestly, all the years I've been talking to you, I didn't know those were even two different things. So, fair enough. Thank you.
There's a difference there. To your point, she was working off-duty gig. She was in her cruiser car. And this guy was in a public area. Again, I guess I'm not putting words in his mouth or thought, certainly in his head. But testing his First Amendment rights, which, as we know, you have the right to stand in public areas. You have the right to record video and audio from that public vantage point, which is what I put in my video.
Anything your eyes can see and your ears can hear from a place you're lawfully allowed to be can be recorded.
Right. To include inside lobbies of our own sheriff's office. And we know that. We train on this extensively. We have seen other auditors in other areas. We've seen, you know, the good and the bad. And, we've taken those and we've critiqued those. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we're human, and I've, you know, there were some words used that I wish that our deputy had not used. And I mentioned our core values of courtesy, integrity, and professionalism, and I want to be transparent. So we put the video out and say, hey, you know, I think that we could have done this a little bit better. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's something we just remind her. We have that dialogue with not just her but other deputies and say, this is an example of what we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we don't have to agree with his thoughts or opinions but we do protect those. We are sworn to uphold the Constitution. I certainly am as the sheriff, and we're going to continue to do that, even for those that we don't agree with.
And I think the beginning of this was he was videoing the cars from the street, and she walked up to say what's going on, and he didn't want to talk to her, but then. And all of that's fine, obviously. You know, if somebody's behaving in an unusual way, you can talk to them. And they have rights as well. They can say, you know, I'm here on a public street doing my business. I'm not interfering with traffic. Leave me alone. And that's kind of the end of it, right?
Well, we tell people if you see something, say something.
Right.
And in today's environment, people are always calling us and saying, there's a guy that's acting a little creepy. He looks like he's videotaping children, say.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but he's in a public area. And then you got another guy saying, this guy looks like he's videotaping, cars entering or leaving a mosque. And so you're looking, okay, what could this be? And we have to respond. So law enforcement officers are always put in that tricky situation where we go there and say, hey, how are you doing? But they don't have to answer us. They don't have to talk to us. So what we do is we, visually observe them. And if it looks like they've got a phone, videotaping something, then we say, okay, there's nothing more that we can really do.
Yeah.
In some cases, the people tried to agitate, and I'm not referring to this one specifically, but in general, the ones that I've seen, they try their best to
right.
get under someone's skin, and it's the world we live in.
And so, when just looking at that video and thinking about her reactions, I know, you were pretty general in your commentary about not living up to your standards. It seemed to me like there were sort of two or three parts of that that might be worth commenting on. One was at one point she touched him, at least looked right. like from the video. Not hard, but,
Right.
Okay, that's one. Two was he was very close to her and then circling her, which mm-hmm. If that were me, I'm probably taking action at that point. And then there was kind of the verbal engagement.
Back and forth.
Back and forth, yep. Not letting it go, not being quiet. There was some insults, mild insults, but still, not what we'd say is kind of the ideal verbal. But you tell me, those seem to be the three most relevant to talk about points. So you tell me what you saw with those three elements.
Well, I think I'll start with, to me, there was no reason to call him back in. He was already walked away, mm-hmm. and she called him back in to her, basically. But I will tell you that I do not expect our deputies to allow someone to circle them. I do not expect our deputies to allow someone to get close enough to them from the front or the back. I expect mm-hmm. them to maintain a safe area. So she had the discretion then to take action, to your point. And the fact that she didn't is not necessarily room for discipline, but is certainly room for dialogue. And let's have a conversation. You could have done this. You could have done this there and here. So my point is, we oftentimes when we're doing crowd control, we push people back. We oftentimes do that, but we don't arrest every single person that we touch.
Right.
There is discretion, in that situation. If we use force, and again, that was more of a get back off of my away from me. But again, we do this a lot. I'm not going to say that I would have done that, but I would expect our deputies to not allow someone to get that close to them, and I pointed that out to them. So I know some people think, well, wait a minute, why did you put her on desk duty? Well, I put her on desk duty because of some of the vile complaints and threats that she was getting from these people from other parts of the country, and we were wanting to just run those to ground to make sure that they weren't someone lying in wait and trying to set our deputies up.
For her safety.
For her own safety, yeah.
Yeah.
But we didn't take her firearm. We didn't put her on administrative leave, to your point. We put her on desk duty, which means she was taking reports from the precinct. She was working at the precinct, answering the phones, doing different things. So it's a learning lesson for her, and she's back on duty. We're still getting some comments from some people, mostly from out-of-town people that are followers of this sort of engagement that their person's trying to get to. So
I bet she's getting some high fives, too. From some people just to put up with it, because even though I think, we agreed that there are ways she could have done it better, there's also a lot of ways could have done it worse. And just putting up with, he's a jerk.
We put up with jerks all the time.
It's his constitutional right to be a jerk, but, it doesn't mean can't celebrate somebody putting up with jerks. It's a part of the job, right?
Again, it's all about the Constitution. We're going to uphold the Constitution, even if we don't believe in what an individual is saying. And I will tell you that a law enforcement professional is trained and trained and trained from rookie school to field training to just experience in our daily training. But you know what? It can get under your skin sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. There were people on both sides of this here that she should have gotten a medal, and then she should have been fired, and she should be arrested, and he should be arrested. And to your point, she let him get too close to her. I think all of those things can be evaluated, and then you take it piece by piece and move forward with
it. And even when you're doing everything exactly right, some people cannot be de-escalated. Some people will not allow it. So, you can do all the right things and it doesn't work too. So.
Well, and so I think it's important for your listeners to know what I've told our deputies. Look, I don't expect you to allow someone to follow or slip around you or get behind you or get up in your face. We're not going to tolerate that. And one thing I'm going to remind our deputies is that you don't have to warn somebody more than once. You can warn them one time, and then you can put them in jail. And there's this thought, oh, well, you didn't warn them enough. And we do. And our deputies will warn people a lot. It depends on the scenario. We made an arrest at the beach. I think we warned a guy 6-7 times, only because we were able to in that environment, in that situation. But just to be clear, you can warn them one time, and then you can put them in jail. And if they don't comply, you can put your hands on somebody. And if they swing at you or threaten you, you can punch them in the mouth. You can do that. And I'm going to support you to do that.
Can I just one follow-up question, just because I want to make sure and get out accurately. When you said you put her on desk duty for her own safety, are you saying that if the threats hadn't been coming in, she wouldn't have even merited going on desk duty?
Well, we evaluate calls all the time, and take people off the streets to do so.
Okay.
There's an officer bill of rights that we abide by, and we have administrative reviews all the time.
Okay.
Again, to your point on the body cameras, and we can critique them and say good job or bad job.
Yeah.
We probably put more body cam video out than any agency that I know. We put a lot of body camera video.
I agree.
I put stuff
lots.
Out
yeah.
All the time. Good and bad.
Not edited or reduced, a lot of times raw stuff, which is,
exactly.
That's the point. That's what you want.
It's because it's when we hear that it might be of interest to people, or if it's something we're very proud of, which most of the time it is, we'll put that out. We put a car, we'll try to put the video out because people know where their tax dollars are going. And they need to know the philosophy of the sheriff's office. They need to know the philosophy of their sheriff. This is what you voted me for and to the office for. And I think that it's important to me. I promise transparency. Boy, you're going to get it.
Sometimes more than you want. But
you may not want it. Right. Just skim on past it. You can applaud us, or you can critique us. Either way, but we're going to be open. We're going to be honest with people.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.